The government media office in Gaza says more than 400 aid seekers have been killed by Israel in the besieged territory in just 2 weeks. Lebanese resistance fighters fired dozens of rockets at Israeli targets in response to the regime's air raids on Lebanon's Baalbek. Russian and Chinese vessels enter Iran's waters as the three countries engage in joint naval drills in the Sea of Oman. This is World News from Tehran, with me, your host, Behruz Najafi. Welcome. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that resistance in Palestine will eventually bring Israel to its knees. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the comment during a meeting with distinguished Iranian Quran reciters and activists. He said the resistance is still standing strong after months of heavy fighting. Ayatollah Khamenei also called for an end to any assistance to Israel by a number of Muslim countries. He said those governments helping Israel are committing crimes and will be punished for treason. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip see no ease in their suffering as the Israeli bombardment and siege continue even during the holy months of Ramadan. The regime struck the central city of Deir al-Balah twice, killing 9 people and injuring some more. 11 lost their lives after Israeli troopers again opened fire on aid seekers in Gaza City. According to the Gaza Media Office, some 400 Palestinians have been killed while waiting in line for life-saving aid since late February. The death toll from Israel's genocidal war since October 7th stands at nearly 31,200, mainly women and children. We've spoken to our correspondent, Mutia Abu Musabbe, in the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah. He says Israeli warplanes continue attacking residential buildings amid the worsening humanitarian crisis.
The Israeli occupation forces are actually committed more massacres over the last night as here in Deir al-Balah city, the Israeli warplanes destroyed another residential building in the eastern part of Deir al-Balah city. The Israeli occupation forces destroyed another residential building in Al-Karara neighborhood located in the eastern part of Khan Yunis city. At least 11 Palestinian dead bodies were extracted from the rubble of that destroyed house. And when it comes to the other areas of Gaza Strip, The Israeli occupation forces also continued their air strikes against Khan Yunis city and against Rafah city. Another residential building was destroyed in Rafah city, particularly in Hay al-Jinaina, which is located in the eastern part of Rafah city. And even in Khan Yunis city, more Palestinian residential buildings and more houses were blown up by the Israeli occupation forces, particularly in Hamas city and the surrounding area of Hamas city, which is located, as you know, in the western part of Khan Yunis city. However, in Gaza City, the Israeli occupation forces also committed another appalling massacre after targeting the Palestinian civilians who were gathering near Al-Kuwait roundabout waiting for the humanitarian aid. In addition to that, Jabalia refugee camp was subjected to heavy bombardments after the Israeli warplanes waged several airstrikes against the residential areas. And when it comes to the catastrophic humanitarian conditions, as you know, that these conditions are unfolding more and more with Ramadan, as the people here are trying and are grappling actually to have meals for iftar and for sahur, and they do not have any real access to those meals, as you know that Gaza City particularly and the northern part of Gaza Strip are still suffocated by the Israeli siege imposed on them, as the Israeli occupation forces are still preventing them from having any real access to those basic humanitarian needs.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, in a message on the occasion of the Muslim month of Ramadan, has called for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip to honor the spirit of the holy month.
Today marks the start of the holy month of Ramadan, a period when Muslims around the world celebrate and spread the values of peace, reconciliation, and solidarity. Yet, even though Ramadan has begun, the killing, bombing, and bloodshed continue in Gaza. My strongest appeal today is to honor the spirit of Ramadan by silencing the guns and removing all obstacles to ensure the delivery of life-saving aid at the speed and massive scale required.
A vessel carrying humanitarian aid for Palestinians has set sail from a port in Cyprus. It's en route to the besieged Gaza Strip. The vessel is being sent by Spanish NGO Open Arms. It's carrying 200 tons of food. This is aimed at opening a new sea route of aid to Gaza, where the population is on the brink of famine due to the Israeli genocide and blockade. According to the World Food Program, the risk of famine is increasing in Gaza by the day. It says that Gaza is facing the worst food crisis in recent history. More than 500,000 people there are suffering from catastrophic hunger and starvation. At least 27 Palestinians have already died of malnutrition and dehydration there. Qatar, which mediates between Israel and Hamas, says the two sides aren't close to a ceasefire deal in Gaza.
Well, the situation is very complicated on the ground. We are not near a deal, meaning that we are not seeing both sides converging on a language that can resolve the current disagreements over the implementation of the deal. But we remain hopeful, and we continue pushing for a deal to happen in the near future.
Now, the Qatari official said that a potential deal requires an end to Israel's bloodshed in Gaza and a continuous flow of humanitarian aid into the devastated territory. The announcement was made as months of talks involving the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt have failed to bring the Israeli genocide to an end. Hamas has blamed Israel for the failure to reach an agreement, saying that the regime is not serious about a deal and is merely buying time. The resistance movement has also said it's shown great responsibility and flexibility in the negotiation, but will not settle for anything less than a full cessation of the Israeli aggression and the pullout of occupation forces from Gaza. No respite from the Israeli violence against Palestinians, be it in Gaza or elsewhere. Regime troopers have taken the lives of three more Palestinians in the West Bank. Among the dead is a young man who succumbed to the wounds he sustained in a raid near the city of Jenin. There were two other deadly raids north of the city of Tul Kerem. In one of them, the Israeli regime forces shot a 25-year-old Palestinian. The other raid took place near the town of Atil, where undercover Israeli troops killed another man. Since October 7th, the occupied territories have been witnessing intensified raids by Israeli forces. Hundreds of Palestinians have been killed and thousands abducted in the West Bank in more than 5 months. Mona Kendall joined us from Ramallah earlier with details on the latest Israeli deadly raids in the West Bank.
Israeli forces disguised as Palestinians or as Arabs raided the towns or an area between the towns of Allar and Zeta, northern Tul Kerem, and they succeeded, this Dovdivan unit succeeded to murder a Palestinian, Muhammad Mustafa Jabir, 32 years old, originally from the village of Arabi in Jenin. The Israeli military claimed that this man, Muhammad Jabir, was on his way to carry out an anti-Israeli operation inside the lands that were occupied 1948. So Jabir was inside one of the shops there when the Dovdivan unit, the undercover units, arrived at the area. And they claimed that he had a gun and that he had opened fire at them before he was shot and killed. And of course, his body was confiscated by the Israeli forces. Several hours later, another Palestinian succumbed to his injuries. The Palestinian paramedics said that a Palestinian was seriously injured and was transferred to a hospital also in the same area. Several hours later, the Palestinian Ministry of Health revealed that Tawfiq Hussein, also from the town, from Jenin, was shot, wounded, and then succumbed to his injuries.
Deputy Political Bureau Chief of the Palestinian Resistance Movement has held talks with the Secretary General of Lebanon's Hezbollah amid the Israeli onslaught in Gaza. Khalil Al-Hayya and Said Hassan Nasrallah discuss a wide range of issues, including the recent developments in Gaza and the occupied West Bank, and also the ceasefire negotiations. Both resistance groups have fought Israeli forces on different fronts since the beginning of the genocidal war in October. Hezbollah has exchanged fire with the Israeli military in support of Palestinians. The resistance group has vowed it will stop attacks only if the regime stops the deadly aggression against Palestinians. IUF forces have carried out a series of new airstrikes on Lebanon, triggering retaliatory rocket attacks from Hezbollah against the occupied lands. According to Lebanese officials, Israeli strikes hit the eastern city of Baalbek and its vicinity. Some of the raids targeted an area near the city of Taraya, 20 kilometers west of Baalbek. This is the first time that Israel has pounded eastern Lebanon since the eruption of exchange of fire between the regime and Hezbollah. In response, the resistant movement fired more than 100 rockets at Israeli positions in the occupied Golan Heights and northern occupied territories. The resistant movement says it will continue attacking Israeli targets until the regime stops the genocide in Gaza. The Israeli military has recently performed aerial operations even on residential areas in Lebanon. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent in Lebanon, Mariam Salah, for details about the latest exchange of fire between Hezbollah and Israel.
They do target Baalbek and eastern Lebanon in the vicinity of the cities of Taraya and Baalbek itself. We know that there was total destruction of the buildings that were targeted, and one person has been killed. Previous time, also, it was more of an open area that was targeted the previous time, like agricultural lands. There was some sort of a residence there, but that also led to the killing of two Hezbollah members. And now with this in place, it seems that Hezbollah has basically become impatient with the Israelis' presumptuousness when it comes to how they are targeting Lebanon. The fact that they're trying to put a lot of pressure on the resistance and on Lebanon itself, with the fact that you do have some opposition from Hezbollah's political foes when it comes to Hezbollah's supportive front for the resistance inside Gaza and for the people of Gaza. And so it seemed that this is why Hezbollah had, in retaliation, launched some, we're talking about more than 50 rockets that were witnessed or that were reported in some areas. The Israelis are talking about more than 100 rockets on two different rounds. A group of rockets was against the Galilee region. Another salvo was against in the Golan Heights. And it seemed that many of them landed and struck their targets. And how that will play out also is another surprise. And the number of rockets that Hezbollah is showing day by day, seemingly increasing and targeting areas that are further off. Yesterday, for example, they targeted areas in the Golan Heights more and more. And so it seemed that for Hezbollah, they are basically unifying the land when it comes to how they target and what they target.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it's carried out a retaliatory attack on Ben Gurion Airport, deep into Israeli-occupied territories. The Umbrella Resistance group says it targeted the strategic international airport with a drone. It vowed to continue operations against what are called enemies' strongholds in support of the people in Gaza and in response to the genocide against Palestinians. Since last October, the Islamic Resistance in Iraq has staged a series of attacks against Israeli positions inside the occupied lands. It's also raided U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in retaliation for complicity in the genocide in Gaza. Yemeni armed forces say that they have struck yet another U.S. ship in the Red Sea, vowing to step up maritime operations in support of Palestinians.
The naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces carried out a targeting operation against the American ship Pinocchio in the Red Sea with a number of appropriate naval missiles. The Yemeni armed forces confirmed that their military operations will escalate during the month of Ramadan in support of the oppressed Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip.
The Yemeni strike has been confirmed by U.S. Central Command that claims that the missiles did not impact the vessel and caused no injuries or damage. According to CENTCOM, American forces performed 6 retaliatory operations, destroying an unmanned underwater vessel and 18 anti-ship missiles belonging to Yemen. Tensions have run high in and around the Red Sea over the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Yemen has, for a number of times, targeted Israeli-linked vessels in the crucial maritime lane for trade. In response to anti-Israel operations, the U.S. and the U.K. have repeatedly launched airstrikes against the Arab country since mid-January. The Yemeni armed forces stressed, despite the aggression, they would continue operations in solidarity with Gaza. Russian and Chinese vessels have entered Iran's waters as the three friendly countries are set to hold joint naval drills in the Sea of Oman. The maneuvers, dubbed Security Bond 2024, will kick off later today and will end on Friday. Naval representatives from Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Oman, India, and South Africa will also participate in maneuvers. The drills are aimed at reinforcing regional security and expanding multilateral cooperation among the countries in attendance. Supporting regional peace and maritime security is also among the drills' targets. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Kids. Their little hearts are shattering out of fear. Explosion? Whose home was destroyed? Do you know the owner of the house? Are they familiar to you? Anyway, they are a human, just like you. You know, after every explosion, a kid starts shivering like hell and never gets back to the person he was before. Listen. The destiny of the people in this land has been interwoven with the children's cries for 75 years. Look at that mother. The mother who is pressing her dead child to her chest. And over there, a father is standing on the rubble of his hopes. Here's just the smell of blood and gunpowder. Do you know how terrible the smell of burnt soil, the traces of blood everywhere, homelessness, darkness, starvation, and thirst is? A mother moans, a father screams, and a kid is no longer laughing. I'll narrate them. I will narrate the wounds which need time to heal. And the resistance will guarantee a bright future for them for sure.
Gaza Vibes.
Be calm, my little daughter. Be a hopeful baby. I know you're hungry, but please forgive me. I know you're cold, darling. I am cold too. I will never get warm. I know the secret behind the seasons. I know that spring comes soon. We should pin our hopes on God. That is why your father Ahmad named you Amal. So be calm, my hope. Let me tell you a story. This is the first, or maybe the last story that your mother tells you. The story of me, Ahmad, your brother Amr, and you, Amal. We had a beautiful home in Beit Lahia. Our home was small, but it was very beautiful. Oh, I can still remember the olive groves your great-grandfather had planted in our garden years before we were born. Your father and I had both lost our families in one of the Zionist regime's attacks, so we just had each other. Ahmad was a teacher and I took care of Amr at home. Oh, Amr, your brother would have gone to school this fall. The Zionist attacks had just started and many had lost their lives in these assaults. You know, my daughter, being a mother is an endless struggle for protecting your children. With the autumn's arrival, before the leaves fall, bombs started raining down. It was almost noon. Ahmad had gone to Beit Hanun and Amr was at school. That suddenly... pieces. I went out with difficulty and I saw people running toward the main street. Every step I took forward, I felt I was getting close to the school. Where was the stroke? Someone shouted, "The school!" Oh, Amr, my son!
Hiya, 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 hiya.
When I got conscious, I saw Ahmad beside the school's rubble. I screamed, "Amr! My son! Amr! Your father searched for your brother's body, but what he found was just a piece of burnt cloth." The next day, Ahmad took us to Jabalia by his friend's car. Situation there was not better. We then moved to Khan Yunis, where we are now. And I gave birth to you in a tent here. Oh, we were very hungry and had no food to eat. Ahmad went out to fetch some food, but he was able to bring food that was enough for just a week. But once he decided to go fishing, as his forefathers did as their profession. As the Zionist regime forces attacked the Gaza fishermen even prior to the war, Ahmad chose to go fishing at night. He told me, "I'll come back with food." was when Ahmad went to where Amr was. And here's just you and I, Ahmad. My dear girl, I am hopeful. Thank God, we're still at home. Here in Gaza, Palestine, our ancestral land. If we are destined to die, we choose to die here in our homeland. Oh, look at there. It's Ahmad and Amr. Darling, they are your father and brother. They have come to meet us.
This program is dedicated to the martyrs of Gaza.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another special edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this special edition during the holy month of Ramadan, we will be having a look at different parts of the supplication Abu Hamza Sumali. We will be bringing you different commentaries on some parts of this dua. We'll be back after you listen to these parts.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ilahi law qarantani bil asfad ومنعتني سيبك من بين الأشهاد ودللت على فضائحي عيون العباد وأمرت بي إلى النار وحلت بيني وبين الأبرار ما قطعت رجائي منك وما صرفت تأميلي للعفو عنك ولا خرج حبك من قلبي أنا لا أنسى أياديك عندي وسترك علي في دار الدنيا.
Dear listeners, we have reached this part of the commentary on Abu Hamza al-Thumali. إلهي, لو قرنتني بالأصفاد ومنعتني سيبك من بين الأشهاد ودللت على فضائح عيون العباد وأمرت بي إلى النار وحلت بيني وبين الأبرار ما قطعت رجائي منك. أو الله, if I had been yoked to and tied with chains and cut off from the flowing stream of your bounties in the presence of the witnessing people, and they were all eyes to see how I was exposed to infamy and disgrace, and I was ordered to proceed to hell, and a barrier was put between me and the pious people, even then I would not cease to have hope. ما قطعت رجائي منك وما صرفت تأميلي للعفو عنك, and it would not stop me from expecting your pardon. ولا خرج حبك من قلبي, and it would not take away your love from my heart. أنا لا أنسى أياديك عندي وسترك علي في دار الدنيا. I have not forgotten the bounties and the protection you made available for me in this world. So, as you can see, dear listeners, one of the subjects emphasized in this part of the supplication is related to this month of Ramadan, and it is the issue of fear and hope, khawf or raja, and it is the kind of a discussion between the people, between the pious, how to practically strike a balance between these two, between khawf and raja. About this concept, one important source to refer to would be the prayer of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. It is a perfect expression of the needed state of fear and hope. So naturally, when some people comprehend the greatness of Allah, they will feel somehow their humbleness. They will express their humility. So one who truly comprehends the greatness of Allah cannot remain fearless of Him. The holy saints and awliyaullah, they were so fearful that sometimes you would see their faces turn pale. At times, their trembling would be beyond description. So, this is the point about one aspect of this khawf and raja. But of course, while having fear, the faithful, the true mu'min, must be as hopeful of God's mercy as if he has not committed any sin. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said in one of his admonitions to Luqman, the wise, to his son, and says, خَفِ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ خِيفَةً لَوْ جِئْتَهُ بِبِرِّ الثَّقَلَيْنِ لَعَذَّبَكْ. Have such a fear of God Almighty that were you to come to him with the virtues of the two worlds, he would still chastise you. وَرْجُ اللَّهَ رَجَاءً لَوْ جِئْتَهُ بِذُنُوبِ الثَّقَلَيْنِ لَرَحِمَكْ. And pin such a hope on God that were you to come to him with the sins of the two worlds, he would still have compassion for you.
Ramadan, Ramadan.
The ocean of dua.
So about how to practically strike a balance between khawf and raja, between fear and hope, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says in another hadith, نَجْوَ الْعَارِفِينَ تَدُورُ عَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أُصُولٍ. The whisper and prayer of the mystics is based on three principles. الخوف والرجاء والحب. Fear and hope and love. فالخوف فرع العلم. Fear is the outcome of knowledge. والرجاء فرع اليقين. Hope is the fruit of certainty and yaqeen. والحب فرع المعرفة. And love is the offshoot of gnosis and recognizing the Almighty Allah truly. And this is what we can practically see raising Imam alayhi salam to this state, to this situation. إلهي لو قرنتني بالأصفاد. Oh Allah, if I had been yoked to chains, if I were cut off from the stream of your bounties, if you were to disgrace me, if you were to order me to proceed to hell, even then I would not lose my hope in your forgiveness. Even then it would not take away your love from my heart. And then Imam explains the reason. لا خرج حبك من قلبي. Why? Because أنا لا أنسى أياديك عندي. I will not forget your bounties. وسترك علي في دار الدنيا. I will not forget your protection that you made available for me in this world. Thank you for staying with us. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In the United States, President Joe Biden and his Republican rival Donald Trump have traded barbs over the death of Laken Riley and immigration policy. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump held dueling campaign events in Georgia on Saturday, 9th of March, and traded barbs over the death of a nursing student and immigration policy as they turned their focus towards the general election. Their campaign rallies, which were the second time that Joe Biden and Donald Trump were in the same state in recent weeks, were underscored by the recent death of Laken Riley, a University of Georgia nursing student who was killed by an alleged undocumented immigrant from Venezuela whilst jogging on university campus. President Biden apologized during an interview with MSNBC on Saturday, 9th of March, for using the term illegal to describe the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley during the State of the Union address. He said he shouldn't have used that specific language. They're an undocumented person, and I shouldn't have used illegal, it's undocumented, Biden said. Biden added further criticism of Donald Trump calling immigrants vermin, saying they are poisoning the blood of our country. Trump seized on the comments from Biden blaming Laken Riley's death on Biden's immigration policies. Trump met with Riley's parents backstage before his campaign event in Rome, Georgia, a city of about 38,000 in Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's district. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene interrupted Joe Biden's State of the Union speech on Thursday, 7th of March, which prompted Biden to say Riley's name. "They just told me prior to what I'm doing right now that Joe Biden went on television and apologized for calling Lake and Riley's murderer an illegal," Trump said at his rally in Rome, Georgia. "Biden should be apologizing for apologizing to this killer." On immigration, Joe Biden and allies have gone after Donald Trump for encouraging congressional Republicans to vote against the bipartisan border bill earlier this year. Maryland's Governor Wes Moore, a Biden campaign surrogate at his Atlanta rally, said it was really rich for the former president to talk about the importance of immigration reform, and he's the reason that it died. The Peach State is a crucial battleground for both campaigns. Joe Biden won Georgia in 2020 by 12,000 votes, making it the first time that the traditionally red state turned blue in nearly 30 years. Just 60 miles away from Donald Trump's remarks, Joe Biden held a rally in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, as his campaign continued a post-State of the Union launch into the general election. In his remarks, President Biden has kept a focus on his contrast with Donald Trump. "Donald Trump has a different constituency. Here's the guy who's kicking off his general election campaign in the road up with Marjorie Taylor Greene. It can tell you a lot about a person who he keeps company with," Biden said in Atlanta, Georgia, noting that Trump had met with autocratic leader, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, late on Friday afternoon at his Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida. Rebuilding his winning coalition in 2020 of minority voters, specifically black voters in Georgia, will be critical for Joe Biden. The campaign has said they're investing in media buys for black and Hispanic-owned media outlets and the largest political committees representing different minority groups, all endorsed by Joe Biden on Saturday. But while President Biden has made headwinds motivating these groups at the start of his general election period, his current support among black and Hispanic voters is lower now than it was back in 2020, according to a CBS News opinion poll. Black voters show up in inspiring and unbeatable numbers to vote for progressive issues and candidates. "Our concern is not so much how will black voters perform, but how will the rest of Georgia perform?" said Karen Blair, an organizer with the New Georgia Project, a voting rights organization founded by Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams. At the same time, the concerns and the critiques black communities have levied against the administration cannot and should not be ignored. Donald Trump's trip to Georgia comes as he seeks to clinch the GOP nomination. The former president is the only major Republican candidate still in the race after former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley dropped out of the race, but he has not reached the requisite delegate count. Trump is within striking distance, and voters in Georgia may deliver Trump the required delegates to officially become the Republican Party's nominee. Another national broadcaster, ABC News, has also covered the same story and tells us more. This week, former President Donald Trump was declared the presumptive Republican nominee, setting the stage for a rematch election between himself and President Joe Biden. Now, the two held dueling events on Saturday, 9th of March, in a battleground state that secured Biden's victory and a Democratic-controlled Senate in 2020, namely Georgia. Donald Trump is in Rome, Georgia, and President Biden participating in campaign events in Atlanta, Georgia, as the campaign announced plans to aggressively step up its campaign operations. As the former president continues to campaign heavily on immigration and border security, he used his appearance in Rome to highlight the recent death of Laken Riley, the nursing student from Georgia who was killed. At Saturday, 9th of March's rally, the campaign handed out posters of Laken Riley's face with phrases, "Remember our angels" and "Say her name" on them. Donald Trump met with Laken Riley's parents before he took to the stage in Rome. Trump criticized President Biden for getting Riley's name wrong during his State of the Union address and for walking back on using the word illegal. Undocumented persons, Biden said when his use of the word illegal was raised in an interview with MSNBC. "And I shouldn't have used the word illegal, I should have said undocumented." Trump at a rally in Rome, Georgia on Saturday responded to Biden's apology saying Biden should apologize for apologizing. "Now he was illegal and I say he was an illegal alien," Trump said. "He was an illegal migrant. He was an illegal migrant and he shouldn't have been in our country and he never would have been under the Trump policy." Trump also again offered a scathing review of Biden's State of the Union address at his rally in Rome, calling it angry, dark, hate-filled rant. Trump also mocked Biden's speech. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.